Hello out there in Radio Land. It's time once more for another exciting installment of the Papa Prell Show. Tonight we're going to investigate one of the biggest investigations in television history, the TV trial that brought down one of America's greatest heroes. He was a great war veteran like myself, and he was my all-time favorite senator. You guessed it, Tail Gunner Joseph McCarthy. Yes, we so quickly forget, but history is full of mass media trials of conservative Republican targets. It's one of the liberals' favorite tricks. If you can't get someone within a court of law, you can always destroy their political career through a kangaroo court of Congress. It goes all the way back to the first Republicans in the Civil War. Back then, Vice President Johnson was just a token Southerner for the Lincoln ticket. He was never supposed to have any real power. But then Lincoln let the power go to his head via a gun barrel, and voila, the impossible. President Johnson. Well, the Congress couldn't let that happen, even if it was legal and constitutional. So they dreamed up trying to impeach him for drinking on the night of his inauguration. They failed by just one little old vote. But Johnson's political influence was terminated nonetheless. He served the rest of his term in silence without respect or honor. Quite a system, huh? No wonder the South tried to succeed. But that's Congress for you. They've been using the same tactics ever since. Why? Because it works. The media is the only court in the land that can try, convict, and punish you without ever giving you so much as a lawyer. It's the judge, jury, and executioner all rolled into one. And when the media is as liberal as the American media, you can not only predict the outcome, but their targets as well. McCarthy versus the Army, Nixon and the Watergate affair, Reagan and Iran-Contra. Who knows what's in store for Bush? But isn't it funny that no one put Senator Ed Kennedy on trial for the drowning murder of his secretary in the Chappaquiddick River? Or that Jimmy Carter never received a congressional inquiry over the illegal influence of his brother Billy Carter? Or the financial misdeeds of Burt Lance? Yes, it could be coincidence. It might also be a coincidence that the Army was putting McCarthy on trial at the exact same time McCarthy was investigating communist infiltration of Army bases in the high brass. Mighty coincidental, huh? But the plot gets thicker. Take it from me. I was there. I testified before the committee. But more on that later. First, let's introduce you to the cast of conspirators. Characters. The lawyer for the Army is Joseph L. Welch.
I came down from Boston in the guise of a simple trial lawyer.
I'll say it was a guise. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Also on the attack, Robert T. Stevens, Secretary of the Army.
One of the best things that had ever happened to me in my life was my opportunity for service in the United States Army.
And if you believe that, I got a lot of land I want to sell you. Anyway, another one of the hired guns was John G. Adams, counselor for the Army.
I've never filed a brief, I've never drawn a complaint. I'm strictly a Washington-type lawyer.
I'll say he's a Washington-type lawyer. None of them ever file briefs to draw complaints. They just complain with their mouths, while we pay through the nose. Anyway, presiding over this committee of McCarthy's supposed peers is only one other Republican. Let's see how enthusiastic he sounds, shall we?
Presiding over these hearings is a responsibility which I do not welcome.
Can you blame him? Because he's going to have to send innocent men up the river. But let's follow on the rest of the committee. Actually, it's called a subcommittee, as if anything could be lower than a regular committee. Here's a fellow subcommittean, Democrat John McClellan.
We're performing a public duty, a public trust, one of the most disagreeable ones I've ever had to perform in the course of my public service.
Don't worry, vote along with the rest of the Democrats and the party will forgive you. The Communist Party. Speaking of which, here's fellow Democrat Stuart Symington. Listen to this sales pitch, will you?
I have no interest in life that surpasses my great concern for the vitality of our armed forces.
I'm surprised that fellow didn't wind up as president. But now look at their prey, McCarthy's chief aide, Roy Cohn.
Roy Cohn is here speaking for Roy Cohn to give the facts. I have no counsel.
Now that's what I call guts, marching into that den of lions as your own lawyer. He must have been one of those idealistic fools that thinks the American legal system won't convict you if you're innocent. Wrong. Remember Ollie North? But of course, Roy Cohn was just a secondary target. The Commie Congress had bigger fish to fry. They were after only one man. The one man that had started to expose them for the entire world to see. Senator Joseph McCarthy.
The average American can do very little insofar as digging communist espionage agents out of our government is concerned. They must depend upon those of us whom they send down here to man the watchtowers of the nation.
Ain't that the truth? And speaking of the truth, let's have a look at the real reason the Congress and the Army high brass was scared of McCarthy. His dedication to a cause. The American cause of truth, justice, and freedom.
The charge that the CIA is infiltrated and infested with communists. The charge that the Department of Defense is full of communists. The charge that the Department of Justice, that the Attorney General of the Department of Justice, is something phony about him. And the charge that the hydrogen bomb plants and the atomic bomb plants are full of communists.
Those were the real issues, but Congress conveniently sidetracked those seemingly unimportant charges and focused on what they said were the real national interest. Whether an Army private, David Shine, had received preferential treatment thanks to Senator McCarthy and staff.
The charges are often forgotten. The charges were, did Senator McCarthy and two members of his staff use improper pressure for Mr. David Shine with the Army? The countercharge was that there was blackmail on the part of the Army and the use of Mr. Shine as a hostage.
That's right. Millions of taxpayers' dollars and 36 days of prime television time were devoted to find out if Private David Shine had received preferential treatment. Serious allegations indeed, especially when compared to something as trivial as, say, communist infiltration of our defense system. The true magnitude of David Shine's crimes would not be uncovered until well into the trial, and by the very man accused of aiding and abetting the criminal, Senator Joe McCarthy.
Is it true that one of the charges made against Mr. Shine, one of the charges was that his shoes commercially polished? Is that one of the bits of special favor he got? He was allowed to pay 10 cents to have his shoes polished?
I don't know, sir.
Another charge as announced is that he had special boots with straps and buckles on the side. That's one of the charges against him. You don't think the committee intervened to allow him to buy a special shoe, do you?
I wouldn't know. I don't have any information on that, Senator McCarthy.
Another of the charges was that he had a fur-lined hood. Pretty serious, do you think?
What was that?
That he had a fur-lined hood. Another, that he complained about the cold weather. Do you think this committee intervened to allow him to complain about the cold weather?
I wouldn't think so. I don't know anything about that.
Another charge was that instead of walking behind a Jeep that was parked, he walked in front of a Jeep. Do you think that anyone on the committee called and asked permission for him to walk in front of the Jeep?
Wow. Better dust off the electric chair. Remember, these were long before the days when all the Kennedy boys got direct commissions in the Navy, even if they did end up sinking their boats. But let's stick to one scandal at a time. The real reason McCarthy was being investigated was to stop him from investigating the Army. After all, they had plenty to hide.
Now, Mr. Adams, a charge has been made against you that you not only offered special dispensations for Shine, but that you offered up bigger bait from time to time. To wit, subversives, homosexuals, in the Air Force and in the Navy. Did you ever do that, Mr. Adams?
I did not. I never made such an offer. I never would make such an offer. There was under investigation in the Army at that time some very serious allegations with reference to homosexual behavior on the part of a group of Army officers at a large Army base in the South.
Well, it wasn't in Tennessee, Mr. Adams.
No, sir, it was not.
Another sound, point of order?
Point of order, let's exclude Arkansas, too.
I can do that, sir.
Sure, I would like to raise a point of order on behalf of South Dakota, which might also be considered the South.
I can exclude all of the states of the members of this committee.
Did you know that when the soldiers at Fort Dix...
Well, let's avoid getting into the gory details about what the men actually did to one another at Fort Dix and move on to another point. No pun intended. No pun intended. Anyway, the highlight of the trial, at least for me, was when I was called to testify about a picture I had photostated for the investigation. This was the first time, mind you, that I actually saw that super human being, Senator Joe McCarthy, in the person, and I had a chance to feel the electricity in the air that his presence generated. Little wonder I was a bit nervous and distracted. I was just a clerk back then, and I was in complete awe. Here, then, is my little 5 minutes of fame at the McCarthy hearings.
Well, then the only thing to do was to bring in the photostat of the original picture with three people in the cast. Isn't that right?
I wasn't asked for that, so I didn't deliver that. I'm a government union employee.
That's right. You were asked for something different from the thing that hung on Shine's wall.
I never knew what hung on Shine's wall. What do you think I am, a fortune teller?
You did know what hung on Shine's wall when that was handed to you, sir.
I did not know what hung on Shine's wall. I'm not in the habit of following men to their rooms to reproduce a file photograph. I only sleep with my wife and other women. What are you suggesting anyhow? Did you think this came from a pixie?
Where did you think this picture that I hold in my hand, which is Exhibit 3, came from?
The question will be immediately. Did you think it came from? I didn't get the rest of the question.
The question. Question. Did you think this came from a pixie?
The counsel, for my benefit, define. I think he might be an expert on that.
Yes.
What a pixie is.
Yes. I should say, Mr. Senator, that a pixie is a close relative of a fairy.
They want to know what?
Shall I proceed, sir? Have I enlightened you?
As I said, I think you might be an authority on what a pixie is.
Ooh, tell him!
Counsel, may proceed.
Tight face! Well, that wasn't the first time I was involved with history in the making, nor the last. But it did give 20 million Americans a chance to get a glimpse of one of their more important future leaders as I made my TV debut. But let's not mix my professional good fortune with this tragic tragedy of the past, the railroading of Joseph McCarthy in this treacherous travesty of injustice. One of the more despicable tactics of Mr. Welcher was to publicly pressure Senator McCarthy to surrender the names of his sources. If he did give the names, then the sources would dry up. And if he didn't give the names, then they can infer that there weren't any names, and that McCarthy was just making them all up in his head. Never mind that the lawyers themselves aren't required to betray the confidence of their clients, and that the media itself doesn't tattle on their sources. Remember, this wasn't a trial, but a congressional media circus.
You wish, then, to put your own interpretation on your oath and tell us less than the whole truth?
Mr. Welch, I think I've made it very clear to you that neither you nor anyone else will ever get me to violate the confidence of loyal people in this government who give me information about communist infiltration. I repeat, you will not get their names. You will not get any information which will allow you to identify them so that you or anyone else can get their jobs. You can go right ahead and try until doomsday.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. America could never be fooled into turning its back on one of her greatest war heroes, tail gunner Joseph McCarthy. But it's my sad duty to inform you that on December 2nd, year of our Lord, 1954, the U.S. Senate voted to censor Mr. McCarthy 67-22. The voting fell largely along party lines, of course. But heartbroken and driven to drink, McCarthy passed on soon thereafter. Will history exonerate him? Well, in the words of President Richard Nixon, it all depends on who's writing the books. Me? I'm doing my part, but I'm getting up there in years and can't carry on the banner forever. It's up to you, dear listener. What will your children say of Senator Joseph McCarthy? If there is still an America, his spirit would have survived. But will you keep his voice from dying?
The thing that I think we must remember is that this is a war which a brutalitarian force has won to a greater extent than any brutalitarian force has won a war in the history of the world before. That you can talk about communism as though it's something 10,000 miles away. Let me say it's right here with us now. Unless we make sure that there is no infiltration of our government, then just as certain as you sit there, in the period of our lives, you will see a red world. Anyone who has followed the communist conspiracy, even remotely, and who can add two and two, we'll tell you that
there is no remote possibility of this war which we're in today, and it's a war which we've been losing, no remote possibility of this ending except by victory or by death for this civilization.
Senator Joseph McCarthy, born November 14th, 1908, died May 2nd, 1957. Gone, but his memory lives on.